Well, now I'm going to go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. I'm going to read 10 verses, although we discussed already verses 1 through 7, so I'm not going to rehash all of that. I'm going to focus on verses 8, 9, and 10. But I'm going to read first Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. And once again, this being the Word of God, not the word of man, but God's word in man's words, translated for our convenience from the Hebrew. We are so thankful that God has delivered his word unto us in such a fashion as this. Let us hear now his wise word from Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. Yea, also, when he that is a fool walks by the way, his wisdom fails him, and he saith to everyone, I am a fool. If the spirit of the ruler rises up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifies great offenses. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an error which proceeds from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in low place. I have seen servants upon horses, and princes walking as servants upon the earth. He that digs a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaks a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Whoso removes stones shall be hurt therewith, and he that cleaves wood shall be in danger thereby. If the iron be blunt, and he does not sharpen the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. May God bless his word to our hearts and to our minds. Once again, Lord Jesus, we are thankful to be here in the evening hour, to conclude the day as the sun goes down, to conclude the day stopping upon your word, meditating upon your wisdom, reflecting upon it in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whose name we pray these things. Amen. Well, as I said, we started out actually at the end of chapter 9 into chapter 10 and spoke about how sin and folly are married. And they're married forever. They don't divorce. Sin is folly. Folly is sin. And everyone practices it. And we ought to consider that when we do sin, that we are being like fools. We are acting like fools and becoming foolish in our ways. That was the generic or general sense he begins with here in this chapter. And then he goes on to specify some things about folly and sin. And last time we considered the folly of the ruler. And in our case, in the United States and republic type of countries and democratic type of governments, not only is the folly practiced by the ruler, who in times past, in the time that Solomon wrote, rulers were hereditary, they were royalty, they were ordained and proclaimed to be such, and their family were put in place, maybe some special friends, but that's the way the ruler worked. And the ruler, of course, was, if he was foolish, he appointed fools to rule with him. In our United States, I pointed out last time that since we have a vote and the people have a voice, it's not only the folly of the ruler who puts other foolish and fools in place in high positions, the impoverished, really, and keeps the rich, which are the princes, which are the ones who are full of riches of discernment and judgment, are kept out of service. But not only does the ruler do that in our society, but the ruled as well. They keep on putting these people in place that are fools. And the fools are going to put other fools in positions of authority. So the folly is practiced in our time, both by the ruling class and as well by the people. But now we get into the situation of folly and sin in the natural order of things. And that's what he's talking about in verses 8, 9, and 10 here. He that digs a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaks a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Whoso removes stone shall be hurt therewith, and he that cleaves wood, cuts wood, shall be in danger of it. If the iron be blunt and he does not sharpen that edge, then he must put more strength to it. But wisdom is profitable to direct. And so there are 3 points to be made. First, talking about the natural order of things. Then talking about actions have consequences, activities and consequences. And then finally, we are to consider our ways. So those are my three points. The natural order of things, actions and their consequences. And consider all these things. Consider our ways before God. Well, you look at this, and in these verses here, particularly verses 8 and 9, we see a reality. He that digs a pit shall fall into it. And think of that as someone who is digging a hole and maybe slips and falls into it. It happens. Or think of people digging a tunnel or a mine or something like that and excavating a site, and the site collapses in on them. That has happened so much. It's not something that just happens once in a blue moon. It happens again and again. People slip into the hole they're digging, or a mine collapses, or an excavation collapses on someone and hurts them. And so that is the reality that is with us. Or say, for example, someone is clearing the brush, and it's thick brush, and it may be whatever. I don't know if you've ever gotten this to happen to you, or had this happen to you, where you're clearing a way for hunting or something like that, and a snake pops out. You know, oftentimes around here they're not poisonous snakes, so you don't have to worry too much about that, although there are some. But there are snakes in the grass, there are snakes in the hedges, there are snakes in the weeds, and they bite. Sometimes they certainly scare and often bite the person that is there. And then there is, of course, the person who is chopping away at a tree, or in our case, maybe using a power saw, a chainsaw, and cutting down something. And it snaps and it pops out. It pops out at you. And a lot of people have been hurt that way, maybe even killed, because the tree took just collapsed on them, and it popped out the wrong way. Or falling on a house and hurts the residents inside, the occupants inside, chopping with an axe, and the particles of wood, a chip of wood, flies out into your eye or into your face or something like that. It happens. It happens a lot. It's not something that just is once in a blue moon, as I said. And then also a person setting stones one on the other, or taking stones down, and he slips, falls, a stone falls on him, hurts his ankle, breaks his leg, whatever. There are those kinds of things that happen all the time. And it's a reality of nature. It's a physical reality. And that's something that we need to consider. This is why it's written here. This is what the wise writer is telling us. And I'm going to tell you what it means in a little bit. But before I do, we also want to point out that it's been used, these kind of things have been used in other places of the Scripture in a figurative way, in a spiritual way. For example, figuratively speaking, Proverbs 28, "Whoso causes the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit, but the upright shall have good things in possession." And so there is the use of a digging of a pit, but it's a spiritual use of it. You plot and plan against the righteous to have them fall, and you fall into the trap that you are setting. He made a pit digged it, dug it out, and has fallen into the ditch which he made, the psalmist says in Psalm 7 verse 15. And again, it has a spiritual application, not just or merely a physical one. It's been used, these kind of things have been used in terms of the hedge. Remember, God puts a hedge around the church of Jesus Christ. He puts a hedge around us, he protects us. And there are those who break through, like in John chapter 10, where Jesus talks thieves and hirelings who break, go over the fence or go in the wrong way, break through the hedge and come in and hurt us and bite us. And so there are spiritual applications for these things, but we don't want to lose sight of the physical application, because that is appropriate and it is in place in here. Again, there are those who spiritualize the Scriptures and try to make everything figurative or everything spiritual, or get the spiritual dimension of things like this. But we want to take this for what it says, the wisdom in what it's saying, because it has such great wisdom. So although Scripture uses these things in figurative senses, we do not want to ignore the physical way where folly and sin are working themselves out. And as one author put it, even in the things under the sun physically, the way of folly is manifested in carelessness or heedlessness of man in such activities. The natural inclination of man is to go about these activities with pride in their heart and saying, "This will not happen to me. You know, I have set up safety rules, and that is good to do." We've learned after much time to have some safety rules put in place to avoid the physical, the consequences, if you will, of our physical activities. But accidents, we call them, still happen. And the point of it, of this, that the wise writer, the Holy Spirit, is using here, is that we do not want to think that the natural order of things that are in place, that the laws of nature, that the activities we're involved in, the consequences of those activities are accidents. We don't want to think of them as as many unbelievers think of them as, look, your actions are going to have consequences, that's karma. You know, a lot of people are into that idea now, karma, right? You reap what you sow, as the Scripture says, but it's in the sense that what goes around comes around kind of thing. Or we don't want to be like the scientists of our day, the materialistic scientists, the unbelieving scientists, who thinks that it's just the mechanism of things. It's just the way things work. It's just nature taking its course and running its course. But we want to note, as the wise writer is trying to tell us, that we are to consider these things, discern these things, that God is behind these things and in front of them as well. That God has established rules in nature, physical laws and such, to guide us along and to point us in an appropriate direction. Yes, there are consequences to certain actions, but God has set those consequences in place forever, or until he changes the order of things by establishing the new earth and the new heaven where he and we meet together. And so it does bring us to the second point, where actions do have consequences, but those consequences, God is undergirding them in His creation. He has created this order in order for us to consider. What do we, or what should we, or ought we to consider when such things happen? Are they just mere accidents, as we are often proclaimed to say, because of ignorance or unbelief or just, you know, habit? You know, like we join the crowd and say accidents happen. You know, there are consequences to certain actions and they just take place. Or are we to consider them more deeply? And yes, we are to consider them more deeply. In fact, if you go all the way back to Genesis and you remember the curse that He put on the earth for the sake of man's sin, He said thorns and thistles will be part of your going on from here, being out of paradise. The earth is cursed for man's sake. Paul talks about that. It groans in eager expectations for all the sons and daughters of God to be revealed. There's a curse set in place upon the earth. And God is working out the curse through the natural order of events. That's why these things happen. Because God has placed a curse. From the very beginning, thorns and thistles is representative of all the things that can and will go wrong because the earth is cursed for your sake, man. These are not just accidents. These are not just acts of nature, blind chance or whatever, or because of global warming or something like that. God has set in place physical laws that set forth consequences to your activities because of the curse. And so we ought to consider that these things are happening because God has made it such. And why has He made it such? Why is He doing this? Why has He set a curse? And to this day, there is such a curse. Now, the heedless one, the ignorant one, doesn't believe this stuff at all. Doesn't think about it. Think about that. Saying that, believing in karma, or saying that things, like the unbelieving scientists, that things are just, it's like a mechanical thing, a cause and effect relationship. This is just the way it is. This is just the way the universe works. It's just the way the natural law, the natural processes work. And they just go by it. Every single day they go by it. And they don't realize that God is bearing witness upon them that I have cursed the earth for the sake of your sin. That there is judgment upon the earth. There is judgment on your life. And every day there's a witness to that judgment. And you are just carelessly ignoring it. That's what God is saying here. That's what Solomon is pointing out and pointing up. And we ought to think about these things. Why are these things happening? We often say, why me? Why, oh, why does this happen to me? Why this sickness? Why this death? Why this failure? Why this setback? Why this? Why that? Because the earth is cursed. And we are living under a curse, or in a curse. But thanks be to God and Jesus Christ, that curse, we are free from it. And even though we observe it and we experience it in the physical reality of things, we know that we will be above it. We will come out of it. God is saying all things are going to work out according to my plan for good for you. Not for them, but for you. But you need to consider as you go day by day and about your daily task and whatever they may be, that everything happens because God has ordained it to happen, has set it in place to happen. Yeah, the natural orders, there's natural cause and effect and all that, established by God, undergirded by God. He's working out his plan every single moment of every single day in every life. And if that's the order of things in the physical realm, and God is witnessing a fair witness in the physical realm, how much more is it in the spiritual realm? When, for example, as the psalmist says, you're digging a pit, you're plotting, you're planning to have someone fail, to have someone ousted, to set up yourself above another, you're going to fall into that pit. You know, you see these movies sometimes, mainly with the kids, teenagers and young people, and they get jealous because one person loves another and doesn't love her or doesn't love him, and they start plotting and planning against that person, unaware, of course, that this evil someone is plotting against her, so that the fella loses interest in her and turns to the plotter, and she is discovered, she is found out, and her whole life is set in disarray because her plan has failed her. There are physical consequences, and there are spiritual, psychological and spiritual consequences as well that God has established. But the mindless one, the one who doesn't consider these things, the one who doesn't discern what's going on, doesn't realize this. And he goes his merry way, or she her merry way, and doesn't realize that God is witnessing clearly to you 1,000 times a week, if I may say that. Maybe not 1,000, maybe less, maybe more. That he has set judgment in place. That all through your life, I have shown you. I have called you to myself. I've told you to submit. I've told you to humble yourself again and again and again, to be humble before me, to learn from the situations in life that you experience and that others experience whom you know and some whom you don't. As I have often said, these disasters that we have, monumental disasters, typhoons and hurricanes and bad weather and fires and floods and all kinds of disasters, are the birth pains, if you will, the beginning of labor pains, that judgment is upon the earth and the judgment of God is coming. It is coming. It is real. It is heavy. And these things are just the beginning. And yet the world and unbelievers and unbelieving science and all other just ignore that. And they go about their way, and they're now blaming global warming for all those hurricanes and all these disasters. And if we only don't drive our SUVs, you crazy people are driving these big trucks and you're causing global warming and all these typhoons and hurricanes and terrible disasters and oh my, oh me, oh my. And we can avoid all that if you just stop driving your gas-guzzling vehicle or change your incandescent light bulbs to LEDs. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be careful with the environment, and you know that. We should. We're supposed to be good stewards of what God has given us, to use these things, not abuse these things, but use these things in proper order. But this is, you're missing the point. It's a fallen world, it's a sin-cursed world. We're living in a curse, and all these things that are happening that we have no control over in many cases, we think we do because we want to play God. We think we're more wiser than God, and we can develop safety rules and programs and green energy deals and all this stuff to thwart the hand of the Almighty, that judgment is upon us and judgment is coming. And repent now. before it's too late. This is what Solomon's saying. Verse 10, if the iron is blunt and he does not wet the edge, sharpen the edge there, then he must put more strength to it. But wisdom is profitable to direct. And what the wise writer is saying here, the Hebrew word to direct means to succeed. So if you sharpen the axe, you're going to succeed. If you don't sharpen the axe and you start hitting away at it with a dull blade, it's not going to work very well. You're going to have to add strength to strength and perhaps even not get the job done at all. It's wiser to sharpen it. Take the time to sharpen it, and then you'll have much more success and profit. But you see, the unbeliever doesn't think that way. Doesn't plan that way. He is as dull as the dull axe in his mind. He doesn't sharpen his mind by understanding the Word of God and the Scriptures. He doesn't sharpen himself to humble himself before the mighty hand of God and before the judgment of God comes upon him, which is witnessed in his life hundreds and thousands of times throughout it. And he just goes on oblivious to the clear witness of God established in creation, in the creation order through natural law, and the consequences to actions that for us all. And of course, in the spiritual realm, there are consequences to ignoring God Sunday after Sunday, Sabbath after Sabbath, day in and day out. There's consequence to that. And we ought to think about that, discern that, and become humble before the Almighty. Repent. As one writer said, wisdom in the fear of God gives direction and therefore profit under the sun. It works a fruitful walk that is successful in its outcome for good. The good is both the prospering of our earthly way, which is in harmony with God's design, and profitable spiritually. It yields a blessed fruit if we consider our ways, if we consider the ways of God, if we see His hand, His almighty, His sovereign hand at work in all the affairs of our lives, both the mundane and the spiritual, the daily routines of our lives, as well as the spiritual routines of devotion and prayer and worship. We will be wisdom, as the wise writer says in verse 10 at the end, is profitable to direct us, to have us succeed if we consider these things in wisdom, knowing that God is at work in everything, good and not so good, in our lives and in the lives of our loved ones and others. We will succeed, yes, in this world, but certainly much more in that which is to come. Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Lord, bless us on our way. May we consider these things the wise writer has put forth for us to consider. Consider all our ways, as Haggai says. Consider your ways, O my people. Consider your ways. And put first things first. And put in order all things according to my will in Jesus Christ for you. And my will in Jesus Christ for you is that you glorify me, whether you eat, drink, or whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God in faith. and I will prosper your life physically, but is of much more, or much greater importance, spiritually. In your name we thank you and pray and say these things. Amen.